I would like to turn over to, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 22. Well, in Revelation chapter 22, in the first few verses, talks about the river of life. And here it's talking about eternal life, when individuals will have eternal life. They will have overcome their nature and will have God's nature. And they will live forever. And it talks about there will be no more curses. And why is that? We turn the page, or I turn over the page of my Bible. In verse 14, it says, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life." Right now, we are not given that tree of life as far as eternal life. We have a down payment. We are able to partake of the tree of life, which is through God's Holy Spirit. And it says, in this process, and having the right to the tree of life, we must be partaking of that tree now. Let's continue. "And that we may be entered through the gates into the city, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches." So through the ages, we are being fed from this tree of life. Those who've been called, those who've been baptized and received God's Holy Spirit. And continuing on, verse 18 talks about a warning. It says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book," talking about the inspired word of God, the Bible, "if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from things which are written in this book." So God is very clear that we in our lives, whether we're teaching, whether we're individuals, we're all part of the body of Christ. We are not to add or delete from the word of God. Just as we sang that last hymn, Matthew 4, verse 4. As Satan comes before Jesus Christ, as he's fasted after 40 days and 40 nights, Satan brings that bread to him and says, "Eat." And he comes at a time to Jesus Christ in a weakness. Jesus Christ never sinned, but Satan plays on our weaknesses. In Matthew, I'll just quote it, Matthew 4, verse 4. "But Jesus Christ answered after Satan came to him and says, 'Hey, eat of this bread.' And Jesus Christ says, he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Satan plays on our weaknesses. He focuses on our human desires. He focuses on those things if we're not focusing on obeying God. Revelation 2, we don't need to turn there, says to the churches. Says to the churches, we are to be overcoming. Verse 7 says, "He who has an ear." Do we have an ear? God has called us. He's given us His Holy Spirit. We're partaking of the tree of life. We have that opportunity. He says to him, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So it's talking about God's Holy Spirit working with us as individuals. "To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And God is the one who gives life. We need to be overcoming. We need to be overcoming that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we need to be partaking of the tree of life. Today, let's explore the scriptures and see what the meaning of these two trees are. As we do this, let's look at what we can glean from these two trees. And let's ask ourselves, what tree am I eating from? The message today is to help us to have the information we need to overcome. to have the insight to be able to see when that serpent is around and when he tries to get us to eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And then in the message, we also can see what we need to be doing to be able to resist him. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 2 and start there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And God here is talking to Adam. And God commanded the man, saying, "You may freely eat of every tree in the garden." It's a positive thing. Every tree that is in the garden, he starts out with, you can freely eat of it. I've created you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to give to you, to help you enjoy. Very positive, very loving. God cares for us. But, verse 17, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, God says. In the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. God, right now, is giving Adam instruction on how to live and what to do. I've created you. I've given you life. Go this way. Don't go that way. And why is God telling him to not go that way? Here we'll see, there's an article by Roger Foster in the 1996 Good News, November-December issue, Why Do We Sin? In this article, Mr. Foster brings out, he states here that Jesus identifies the most significant characteristic of the flesh. When he talks about here, and we're talking about today, about the flesh, or the nature, our nature, okay, that causes sin. Let me read that again. Jesus identifies the most significant characteristic of the flesh, or our nature, that causes us to sin. What causes us to sin? He quotes Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. Our human spirit, the spirit that God gave us, it is willing and wanting to obey God. But the flesh, our nature, it's weak. It's weak. God here is giving instruction to Adam. I'm here for you. Obey me. Follow me. But guess what? You can't do it on your own. Don't eat of this other tree. He's telling him, don't do it. Listen to me. Stay close to me. Goes on to say, he also quotes, James also plainly states that sin is generated through our human desires because, James chapter 1, 14 and 15, each one is tempted when we is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So, when we're drawn away from God's ways, our own desires, we're enticed, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So our nature, God has created us. He didn't create us, as it says here, our flesh is not inherently evil, but is inherently weak. As a result, our pulls and appetites tempt us to sin. And God is sitting here saying to Adam, hey, I'm here for you. I've created you. I've given you a number of different things. And you need help. You can't go on in life by yourself. And we need help. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning. He was crafty. Those of you in the Bible study today, where Mr. Ekema was talking about the characteristics of Satan. It's a good Bible study. But it says the serpent was more cunning. He was a crafty. He's a crafty individual than any beast of the field which God had made. And he said to the woman, is it so that God has said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God say that? He said that. He's creating doubt. Are you sure God's way is the best way? And here, the instruction that God said. You can't do it on your own. You don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You need me to help you so you don't eat of that tree. 1 John 2:16, Satan is attacking the weaknesses of the flesh. The pride of life. The desires of the eyes, of the flesh. He attacks that. Our weaknesses, the things that we see, that we want, that we desire, the things that we wrestle with. And here we see, as Satan has said, as God said, that you should not eat of every tree of the garden. He creates doubt. He creates a negative perspective. Oh, God's way. You know, don't follow that way. I mean, you gotta go to church on Saturday. You can't do this. You can't do that. It's restrictive here, etc., etc. Instead of like, that's not what God said. God says, if I obey Him, I'll have blessings. I have a husband. We'll have children. It's be peaceful. No curses. We'll be able to live forever in His kingdom. And more individuals will be created. Goes on to say in the article that God's law is a perfect law. It's not that God's law is not perfect. 1/3 of the angels rebelled. Does that make God's law imperfect? God gives us choices. God's law is a perfect law and converts the soul. Psalm 19:7. Romans 7 says it's holy and just and spiritual. Verse 7 says it defines sin. And talking about God's law, again it says it cannot prevent us from sinning. It gives us knowledge of the weaknesses of our human nature, but it provides no power to subdue the flesh. Talking about the carnal mind again. Goes on to say that we need God's Holy Spirit. The power to rule over our human impulses and desires comes only through the Spirit of God. And Galatians 5 is quoted, verse 16 and 17. Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We cannot conquer Satan on our own. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Eve did not have a chance if she left God out of the picture. And we saw that's what she did. Our nature is weak. And we need a helper to help us to change, to help us to overcome. And that's God's Holy Spirit. We need Him. So then it goes on to say, those who are in the flesh, our nature, of and by ourselves, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Talking about those who have received God's Holy Spirit, who have a down payment and earnest that we are partaking of the tree of life now, hoping for that time when we'll receive that gift of eternal life. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. They help us. God helps us to overcome. And that's what God was teaching Adam and Eve in the garden. God wanted Adam and Eve to partake of the tree of life. Genesis 3, verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, and she quotes God, paraphrases God, says, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." God said we may eat of the trees, the fruit of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, "You shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Now God said over in chapter 2, don't eat of it. So Eve is saying here, God also said, don't touch it. Don't go near it. Get away from that tree. And Satan is deceiving Eve to disobey God. Lean to your own understanding, Eve. Don't go back and ask help from God. Lean to your own understanding. It's important for us to know what's going on here when Satan is whispering in our ears. Do we try to overcome him by ourselves? By leaning to our own understanding and say, I can take care of this, I can do this, instead of doing a quick prayer or getting on our knees and asking God for help? Because we will not make it. We can't. It's impossible. Mr. Roger Foster goes on to say, like Paul, Jesus explained that we may be willing, spirit is willing, our human spirit is willing, we have the desire to do what is right, yet we fail because our resolve is weak. Our flesh is susceptible to temptation. We capitulate to sin when inappropriate enticements are sufficiently appealing. What is the nature of our flesh? Talking about our physical existence, including our mind, when it talks about the flesh, that makes us so weak, that stimulates us to cave in to those desires. It says our physical bodies subject us to weakness that can lead to sin. In other words, we can't stand on our own. And God has called us and shown us that way of life. But we must be responding. We must be responding. Because if not, verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is spiritual death, which leads to physical death. This is when Eve should have run. While it is a lie, we know that it's not an out-and-out lie, because Eve probably said, whoa, I'm not going to take of that tree. But no, it was he was deceptive. You won't surely die. And when they ate of that tree, did they drop dead? No, they lived for quite a long time. The devil uses the language of deception, and it's hard to detect unless we are shielded from God's Holy Spirit. Partaking of the tree of life, using that earnest, that down payment, God's Holy Spirit, knowing that we're weak, and not trying to take on Satan ourselves, because just as Adam and Eve did, they lost out. Eve responded correctly to the serpent by using God's words. Just as we heard in the Bible study, yeah, we can respond to God's words, and Satan can use God's words, and it can get us thinking, but it's like we cannot. Satan is the master deceiver. And she listened, and she yielded, and she gave in. We need to stay away from all of Satan's devices. What does Satan have to offer in this world? There's many, many sermons on that. The world is full of evil. Verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, then your eyes will be opened, Satan says. And you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Well, Satan was almost right. They would be gods, as we'll talk about here in a little bit. But to know good and evil like God would know good and evil, that's going backwards. When we partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we cannot understand the tree of life. It's impossible for us to be partaking of the tree of life. He says, your eyes will be opened. Come on, desire for yourself. Just look at this tree, he says. I mean, look at the world. Look at the enticements. So much going on in this world that Satan is advertising, and the nature of that he is, the individuals have yielded to Satan's devices because the human nature is weak. The flesh is weak. And in Genesis 3:22, it just says, and God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, that would be unacceptable to God to have more demons, to have another Satan type, to know good and evil, that Satan is saying, oh, this is the best way. What I have is good. What God is offering is not. Your eyes would be open to know good and evil. It's not the tree of good and evil. It's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not the knowledge of good that God provides through the tree of life. When they ate of that tree, what happened? They were spiritually cut off. They now had to lean to their own understanding. They determined for themselves what was good and what was evil. When we partake of the tree of life, God says, don't disobey me. You disobey me, you're now deciding for yourself what is good and what is evil. Adam and Eve lacked the character of God. They lacked the spirit of God. And they lacked God's instruction. And he was telling them how to live. So they set it for themselves to be gods, for them to determine what was good and evil. And look at the problems of society today. We have extremists, individuals. Everyone is deciding for themselves what is good and what is evil. Many, many groups. Well, this is the way, that's the way, this is the way, that's the way. They're all deciding for themselves what's good and evil. Look at all the confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. Proverbs says, there seems a way that is right to man, but that way leads to death. Do we think that we can overcome Satan on our own? When situations come up, what do? Every man goes in the way that he thinks is right, but the end thereof is death. Again, the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve were not willing to obey God, and that's what we need to understand. We need to be willing to obey God. We need to be willing to yield to him, to cry out to him, I can do nothing on my own. Are we determined to be partaking of the tree of life? God is the one who determines good and evil. And when we partake of the tree of life, we can understand what is good and evil. When we don't, we can think we do, but we're not. What's the difference between a converted mind and an unconverted mind? An unconverted mind thinks they know everything. They think they're okay. I can do it. I'm fine. Converted mind knows that we need to yield to God, need to submit to God, that we need him, that we need to have a relationship with him, that we need to be on our knees crying out to him and living it, asking him to help us to know the way. As we heard in the Bible study today, it says, because we don't know the way. We don't know the way. God has to show us. We must choose to be different and not deceive in ourselves. God will lead us and we must respond. We are not to compromise in God's ways whatsoever. That's what Adam and Eve did. We haven't got to Adam yet, but that's what Eve did. They both compromised the word of God, thinking, I can do it. Who puts that thought in our minds? Satan. God puts the other thought in our mind. No, reject it, run. It says, draw close to God and Satan will flee. Over in James. Now, we'll still be tempted, but draw close to God. Help me. There's temptation here. I don't want it. I need you. I don't want to be enticed by Satan. Strengthen me. Guide me. Help me to do what's right. And as I say, when we do that, well, Satan will flee. If it happens again, we do it again. Keep that process up. Ephesians 6:11. Who can stand the wiles of the devil? Who can stand the wiles of the devil? Oh, I can. Eve says, oh, I can. No. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We can't do it on our own. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against Satan. It's our nature that is weak and we need God, is what it's talking about here. It says, don't go near him, God is telling us. Don't fall to his devices. Don't listen to his whispers. Don't go near that tree. Don't touch that tree. Don't eat of that tree. Adam and Eve were instructed. Verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasing to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make man wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. Satan deceived her. She didn't go asking for God's help. Satan was attacking the weakness there. And she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And they went down a path of spiritual death, being cut off from God. And if we continue that way, physical death, those who know the truth, reject the truth, understand the truth, don't want to obey the truth, it'll be eternal death. And the eyes of both of them were opened. Open to what? Her mind was open to spiritual knowledge after they sinned. And we read it was open to, they created their own knowledge. Created their own knowledge of what was good and what was evil. When God calls us and works with us and opens our mind and gives us his spirit, it opens our minds to a spiritual understanding. That is an awesome blessing. That is an awesome blessing. I mean, that hymn we just sang, it's amazing the understanding that God can give us through his words. As we surrender to him and we show that we need him, and he shows us the way. Continuing on, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And verse 8, and they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God in the middle of the trees of the garden. Now, prior to this, they had no problem of being naked. But when they ate of the tree, a new awareness, a new way of thinking. Oh, we're naked. And also, they had a relationship with God before they partook of that tree. But now they're afraid of God. I hid myself. I'm afraid. When we partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we have a different type of awareness. Our mind thinks to Satan's devices. We become afraid of God, and it's hard for us to pray. And God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I am naked and I hid myself." When we stop partaking, if we are taking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, our spiritual relationship with God dwindles. It goes out. But when we stop taking of that tree, that relationship clears up. We still sin. We still fall short. We understand that because 1 John 1:8 says we all sin. We all make mistakes. And if we say we don't, then the truth isn't in us. And we're a liar, what we're told. Over in Philippians, continuing with the article from, I was reading from Roger Foster, says, later Paul admits and explains that he had never attained perfection in his efforts to discipline himself not to sin. But he gives us a perspective we should adopt. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, meaning I still make mistakes. I still make mistakes. I still sin. I don't practice it. But I'm not going to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't want to. My desire is not to. As a Christian, we do. It happens. It happens. But he says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. So let's not be practicing, partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because when we do, what does it say over in Isaiah? When we partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we're sinning. In Isaiah, it says our sins cut us off from God. A barrier goes up. He cuts us off. And we must ask for repentance for that barrier to go down. In verse 11 of Genesis chapter 3, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree. And I ate. And God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. So the blame game starts. Instead of taking responsibility for their own actions, when we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we justify our sins. We justify them. We compromise God's word and then we start justifying. We don't take responsibility. We don't repent. We make excuses. And we're deciding for ourselves what is good and what is evil. We decide. That's what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is. We decide what is good and evil. Society, the flesh. But those who partake of God's Holy Spirit, we surrender to God, allowing Him to show us what's good and what's evil. And that's what we follow. We ask for His help to follow that way. So the tree of life that we read in Revelation chapter 22, it's cut off for now, eternal life. But that tree is going to be offered. Jesus Christ is going to come back. And He's going to give that tree of life to those who are partaking of that tree of life now. So we can ask ourselves, what tree do we want to be eating from? Satan uses this tree to deceive people. He uses it. Our flesh is weak, our nature is weak. And this tree will convince us that we are correct. And we can be sincere, we can be good, we can help, we can give. But if we're still eating of that tree of knowledge and good and evil, we'll be sincerely wrong. Doesn't matter how sincere we are. We must be partaking of that tree right now. In closing, so we're going to wrap this up. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. As Paul is saying, use the power of God to overcome Satan. And those who are using God's Holy Spirit, partaking of that tree, Paul goes on here to say that that's what we need to be doing. He says in verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, means we live the law of God through His Holy Spirit. We understand that we need God. We're using the Holy Spirit. Paul called it, use the whole, everything, as he describes the what a soldier wears going into battle. You need everything. To have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. With God's Holy Spirit, we can discern what is good and evil from God's perspective, and we won't have to lean to our understanding. If we want to get our understanding, our weakness, the flesh, the nature that we have, God, I need help. I want to overcome. I want to change. I keep messing up. There's nothing wrong with that. Just keep getting better at it. But Paul says, all the way up until we die, we'll continue in that process. But it's something that we want to practice. And we hate to want to hurt others. So if we've been called and receive God's Holy Spirit, and then continue to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we too will spiritually die, as we just talked. We can be sincere in a lot of things, but we will be sincerely wrong thinking that we're on the right path. We need to ask God, help me to see, help me to grow, help me to change. I mean, people who are once in the church who had God's Holy Spirit are no longer here. I'm not saying that everyone in God's church had God's Holy Spirit, but if we have God's Holy Spirit and we let it go by the wayside and we cannot understand what is violated in God's principles, and we should be able to understand what the principles of God's are and what we should be doing and how we should be acting. God gives us peace of mind. He tells us how to live. We have a choice. In the last scriptures, we conclude. The Apostle Paul, over in Galatians chapter 6, 7, defines, makes it clear that we have to choose between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. He goes on to say, we have a choice. What are you going to choose? Chapter 6, verse 7, as we begin this, what tree, we can ask ourselves, what tree am I eating from? God is telling us what tree to eat from. The question I ask is, what tree are we eating from? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh, he who relies on his own flesh, talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thinking that they can understand, they can overcome, they can do it on their own. What happens? It says, will the flesh reap corruption? Because they're not eating from the tree of life. But he who sows to the Spirit, talking about partaking of that tree of life that God is offering to us now, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So to obey God, we must seek Him. We need His ways. We need His understanding. We need His guidance. We need His direction. That's the tree of life. That's the what we've received when we were baptized and we received the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need now today to overcome the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's all be eating from the tree of life.